All right, welcome in to a four question Friday here. And I got my Ric Flair Four Horsemen shirt on today too.
Oh,
really paying homage.
More wooing?
So much wooing.
Can we stop it at baseball games? Baltimore, yeah. They were doing it like the whole game. I don't mind it sometimes. Like, I get it's fun, but when your team sucks and you just do it for the entire game, it gets really annoying on TV.
What is worse, the wave or the wooing for bored fans at baseball games?
Okay, so I hate the wave because it just means you don't care. But wooing is worse because the wave is on TV, you can barely see it. And if you're in person, it might come in front of you for a second, but I mean, you don't have to participate,
yeah.
but the wooing, there ain't no escaping the wooing. So I think it's the wooing.
I love me some Ric Flair and I love me some random wooing. And I've been known once in a while when I get a couple drinks in me, if I'm out and about randomly, I might drop a woo and get the woos going in the Mall of America or something, you know? Actually, the best is, by the way, this is Purple Daily presented by TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. Mackie and Jed Declan on a little hiatus this weekend visiting some family, and so we are flying this plane ourselves. Hopefully we don't crash it. I went to WrestleMania in Miami like 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. 75,000 people. I was just there alone. I just bought a ticket, went there alone. And the whole time in the concourses, before WrestleMania, like during like little breaks and stuff, you walk in the hallway or the concourse, and there's always just random people, woo, woo, just little pockets of wooing.
But there and there it makes sense, right? Like there it makes sense. And I don't mind a woo after there's certain teams in hockey that score a goal, and then they'll be like, scoring the goal, so-and-so, assist, blah, blah. And at the end, I'll go, woo, you know, that's fine too. I'm talking about the incessant nature at baseball games. So it's fine to do it. I just don't need it for 9 innings of a baseball game because it's the Orioles and Twins and it's unwatchable.
That's fair. All right, let's get to question number one here. You like that? So if you're looking around the NFC North here at OTA, so Aaron Rodgers obviously not at OTAs for the Packers. Danielle Hunter not at OTAs for the Vikings. It's becoming more of a story. And by the way, we'll get to a question about that too.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears had only one defensive starter from 2020 at OTAs this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Campbell and his barbed wire arm tattoos is at Lions OTAs wearing a helmet during a press conference. Rank those four teams and the things that are happening or not at their OTAs in terms of how much trouble are those teams in?
All right, I'm going to go from the bottom up, okay? So I'll go least trouble at four to most trouble at one.
Okay.
Four, the Vikings. Because Hunter might show, we don't know yet. It'll become much more crystallized when the mandatory minicamp comes around in a couple of weeks. But it's not good, but it's not devastating. And it could get, I think it'll get resolved at some point before the regular season starts.
Yeah.
Three, the Bears. One defensive starter from 2020 showing up at OTAs is not great, but we did expect that there would be teams, and I think we expected more teams, because the Players Association essentially told the players, you don't have to show up for OTAs, or actually, I think they said, we don't want you to.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a big problem. I think the Bears need lots of work. Defensively, they're a pretty good team. So I'd put that three. And that's also because I simply right now like the Vikings more than the Bears. But those two problems are not huge yet. Two, there's no question. Man Campbell. Phil, this could be a glorious disaster. As I got
Dan
on Twitter.
Dan Campbell doesn't just like football. Dan Campbell loves football.
There was a guy on Twitter yesterday who sent me a note, and he's 1,000% right. He's like, you guys thought Patricia was fun to make fun of. This is going to be better than Patricia. And he might be right. Like, it's one thing to be rah-rah. It's another to go to a press conference with a helmet on. It's another to, at your introductory press conference, like literally talk about committing crimes against people, which I'm sorry, the last time I checked, taking a bite out of a human being's knee is a crime. It's called assault.
Yeah.
This guy's off his rocker, which is great. Which is great if you're a football fan. If you're a Lions fan, it's not so great. But that's my second one. I think this could be a glorious disaster because there's no way, Phil, that you can separate how he's acting in pressers and stuff from who he is, which means, I mean, this guy's going to try and have full padded practices in like week 12. Yeah, it's going to be something disastrous. So anyway, and then of course, one has to be the Packers. I'm really fairly convinced that they're going to call Rodgers' bluff. So they're going to try and keep him. I don't think he shows up.
I don't think he's bluffing.
No, but that's the point. But I mean, I think they're going to think that he is, and that contractually, it just makes sense for them not to trade him in their minds. And so I think he does not show up. I really am not going to be surprised if Jordan Love, or God forbid for their sake, Blaine Gabbert has to start in week one. So the Packers are still one. But Dan Campbell could be knocking at that door.
Yeah, so I saw this list differently than you did. I will admit the Packers are number one. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's the reigning league MVP, and he ain't showing up. So, and they're going to have to figure out how to fix this. I don't think it's fixable. So he's number one. I actually have the Lions fourth on my list because they're always garbage anyways. Like, what's... It's a shorter fall to the bottom. What do they have to lose by Dan Campbell wearing a helmet at a press conference, right? It's not like if Bill Belichick walks up to the podium with a helmet on, I'd be like, okay, Bill, I think it's probably time after 20 years we move on to somebody else. But like the Lions are always a joke. So he's just being a joke like the rest of the Lions teams in my lifetime. So I'm putting them four. I'm putting the Bears three as well, just because at some point those defensive players will show back up. They've got some positive vibes with Justin Fields. And so while I'm not fully confident they will be able to maximize a young quarterback based on their history, I think the Bears are going to, once they get people back in the door for actual training camp, they'll be fine. And I'd have the Vikings number two on the panic index here just because we haven't seen Danielle Hunter play in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen him play since 2019. And he had major neck surgery. There's been rumblings about unhappiness with contract now going on 9 months, and he hasn't shown. We haven't seen him in a Vikings uniform at a Vikings practice in any form in almost a calendar year. So while I don't think it's fully time to panic, because I think they're going to get a deal done, and I think he's young enough and strong enough to come back from surgery, we don't know. And this only feeds into the unknown for Danielle Hunter and the Vikings, the fact that he's not showing up. So I put him a little higher than you do on that list. All right, question number two here also has to do with Danielle Hunter. So about 8-9 months ago, Ian Rapoport sounded the alarm on Twitter from NFL Network on Danielle Hunter's contract situation, and he basically said, hey, just so you guys know, he's probably not going to play on this contract anymore. It's definitely going to be a thing that the Vikings have to deal with when he comes back from this injury. This is going to be a thing. And I feel like most people, fans, media, mostly like the media basically did nothing with it at the time in and out. It was just like a tweet that floated out. You know, you and I did a couple episodes on it, and I think we're mostly told you guys are fear-mongering this Danielle Hunter contract thing. So I want sports dad Judd Zulgad here, former Vikings beat writer, to educate all of your sports children. My question is, what do you have to say to the people that totally dismissed that Ian Rapoport report from like 9 months ago as this is just fear mongering?
Well, one, he gave you a heads up, so you can't be surprised now by how it's playing out. So one is thank him, because like instead of it being a surprise and trying to find out, is he not, you know, pleased with his contract? Is he still hurt? Rapoport gave you the roadmap to where things stand. But I would say this, when Adam Schefter, Pelissero, Ian Rapoport, I can go down a list of probably what, 5 to 8 names. When those people have a tweet or a story like this, they are getting it. They are not speculating. They at least have cold hard facts from someone. In this case, it's clearly Hunter's agent and his camp, which, by the way, I mean, I get it. He is now, I believe, the 17th highest paid rush end in the league. He is massively behind the top three, which starts with Bosa of the Chargers. So what I would tell my sports children is, children, do not dismiss the words of the prophets who bring you the National Football League inside information. If somebody had tweeted, I wonder if he'll show up. Okay, that's cool to be like, you know what, dude, let's calm down. But in this case, this is clearly somebody who is very plugged in. And here's the other.
That noise you just heard was an alert. I just got an email from NFL Insider saying Danielle Hunter is unhappy with his contract.
Yes, exactly right. The prophets have spoken again. But that note, too, had to be taken seriously. Because one, if you recall the first part of that tweet, the first part of that tweet was about the surgery. So like Rappaport had talked to the Hunter camp who said, yeah, he's having surgery. And oh, by the way, he's not coming back to the Vikings unless he gets paid. So
and that's,
yeah,
that's a hard
you can't
spot.
Dismiss that stuff.
You can't. I think lesson learned when the Mount Rushmore, whoever that is right now, and Rappaport and Schefter, I would say Glazer's probably on it. Like when anyone from the Mount Rushmore of NFL insiding or NBA insiding floats something out there, it's legit. It's coming from either a general manager, an owner, or an agent or a player directly, right? Mm-hmm. I think on the Viking side of things, it's so hard because you want to make it right. You're certainly not a lot. I think I've heard a lot of fans say, "Well, he signed the contract; he's got to live with it." Well, okay, yeah, like in a fantasy football league, like an auction league. Well, you got him for $25, you know. So that's the price that he's gonna pay. By the way, That's actually Danielle Hunter's private jet landing right now.
Is that a seaplane? Yeah. A little fresh food coming into Seattle there?
Yeah, it's my lunch. They just dropped the shrimp off.
I envy you.
But like if you're the Vikings, yeah, you want to make one of your most important players happy. You want to negotiate in good faith. And if conditions have changed, you're not just going to put your foot down and say, well, I mean, you guys are idiots. You signed the contract. You're going to try and find a middle ground and make it work. But he hasn't played in 2 years. So right. What are you supposed to do? Like you can't just make him a $27 million player to put him at the top of the edge rusher heap, having not seen him play in 2 years, right? So there's got to be some sort of compromise here.
And here's where I think it comes in. So I looked at his contract a couple of days ago again, and I guess I hadn't looked at this previously. I don't recall pointing it out. So his contract, the last year of any guaranteed money in that contract is 2021. 2022 and 23, he has none. My guess, and this is where it's going to be probably a difficult discussion. My guess is that the Vikings are saying exactly what you just said, which is, dude, you didn't play in 2020. You're coming off herniated disc surgery and a neck problem. And like, you're going to come back, but what? And he's going to say, yeah, but you don't have a good pass rushing end without me. And the fact is, if I come back and play and I risk it on this contract, right, and something goes wrong, I get hurt, I've got you could basically jettison me instantly.
Yeah.
So I think the hang up as well as just the financial look of a contract in which he now trails guys that he probably, when healthy, is better than. I think the other problem, Phil, is the fact that he's going to say, I need some type of guarantee to come back and play beyond 2021. And that's where the conundrum lies for both sides.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's all very interesting. I think the best solution is to get him more money for 2021-22 and then have another checkpoint while he's still in his prime so that both sides can reevaluate after 2022 or have some sort of maybe there you can build in a games played and bonus or I don't know what that would look like.
I think you need to at least guarantee him cash in 2023 as well.
Yep,
so if he does get hurt, he still gets paid something.
Yep. All right. Question number three is presented by our friends.
You like that?
At PXG Minneapolis. So PXG, for all you golf fanatics like Bud Zolgad.
You know I love to swing the clubs, Phil. You know I love to swing.
Actually, I think PXG would want you to stay as far away as possible from their clubs. They don't want any association. He's golfed once in 25
years. Will they pay me not to endorse? That would be a really good endorsement.
Judd here. PXG has filed a restraining order against me. I'm not to come within 100 feet of PXG Minneapolis.
I will be golfing forever now. For the next 10 years, I'll never touch a golf club because of PXG. They told me not to.
The new Gen 4 clubs are the best performing clubs PXG has ever made, which is saying something because they make amazing clubs. And you can find clubs, apparel, and just anything to up your game at PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center and PXG.com/Minneapolis. All right, question number three here. So the Lakers got bounced last night in the first round of the playoffs. The Heat got bounced in the first round of the playoffs. So last year's finals teams are kaput in the NBA. In the NFL, let's take the Buccaneers and the Chiefs off the table, last year's Super Bowl teams. Let's say the same thing happens. They just get bounced in the first round this year. Who plays in the Super Bowl?
So my initial response to this question was going to be from the AFC, the Bills. But then I thought about it, and I thought to myself, you know what? The Bills had a great year, lots of fun, but I don't know if they're going to come back with as good of a year in 2021 as they did in 2020. So I've amended my answer to be the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, if he needs to bounce back, he does. But, I mean, I like what he brings. And I think he's a smart enough guy. I think he's going to learn from things that went wrong. I think that they are – they're a solid franchise. So I'm going to go Baltimore versus the Los Angeles Rams.
Wow.
Matthew Stafford. Like, we will now – we've always thought Matthew Stafford is a good to really good quarterback on the Detroit Lions, which, as we talked about before, are a running joke year after year. So what would happen if some year Matthew Stafford escaped Detroit? Well, he has now. The Rams defense has some really nice pieces. Donald is a phenomenal player. So just for the sake of trying to go outside the box, but not come up with something silly, I'm going Ravens versus Rams in the Super Bowl.
All right, I think the Chiefs are going to go back, but you know, sure. it is hard to go 3 years in a row. As the Buffalo Bills found out, they went 4 years in a row, lost them all. I'm going to go Buffalo on the AFC side if it's not Kansas City. I love Josh Allen and his ability to improv. I love some of the throws he makes just on the run. You know, when you think of teams that win an extra playoff game or go to the Super Bowl and win it, right?
Yep.
There's got to be a lot of off-schedule things that happen. Like even like the legendary highlights of Super Bowls, right? It's very rarely like perfectly clean pocket for 3 hours and like the Kirk Cousins conditions. I'm going to go Buffalo because of their ability to just make things happen.
Kirk Cousins shot. Yep.
And then this is going to surprise you. But Vegas has this team in the NFC as the third most likely to win the Super Bowl behind Tampa and the Rams. This team last year was competitive and finished with just a minus 14 point differential on the season, despite losing basically all of their key players and having third stringer start a quarterback. The San Francisco 49ers, I think, are due for a big bounce back.
I thought of that too. Absolutely.
They are well coached. They have an amazing roster. And the question's going to be, and Jimmy Garoppolo seems like all of his public comments, he's like, yeah, I thought about demanding a trade, but honestly, I just want a ball, man. I don't care. You know, he tried to sabotage their Super Bowl run a couple years ago, including the game against the Vikings. But
Trey Lance is starting by week 8. There is my opinion.
Possibly,
I think he gets the start.
I don't think they win it, but I wouldn't be shocked if how well coached they are on that roster, if they bounce back and won like 11 or 12 games and made a run. So
I like it. I like it because what division? So that division's really good. I think what division beyond that in that conference scares you? The East is still not good. Like, I think it's going to be better, but it can't be worse than it was.
Yeah, the South is weird because Drew Brees is gone. I think the Falcons are better than they were for chunks last year, and they'll have weapons. So I think the Falcons could be more competitive. But, and then if Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the AFC, it's like
– the Vikings are the best team in the North. I think there's no question, right?
Yeah. In fact, if Rodgers gets traded out, are you even confident in like 7 teams are going to make the playoffs mathematically? But like the AFC with the Chiefs and with the Ravens and the Bills, and I'm not going to put the Browns in that conversation yet. But I mean, hell, even if like the Colts are a really good team, and if they can get Carson Wentz playing back to the way he was in his peak years in Philadelphia, maybe they jump up into this conversation.
If Rodgers is gone from the conference, I think there's a fighting chance that the last two playoff teams in losing records.
Yeah. By the way, VegasInsider.com oddly has the Denver Broncos as like the eighth or ninth, it's like the ninth favorite team on here at 20-1, right behind the Packers at 18-1. I think this is a hedge. I think the Packers would be a lot higher. The Packers are seventh.
Yes.
Below the Browns, Niners are their eighth. And I think they're speculating on Rodgers to the Broncos elevating their chances. I think. Very interesting.
George Payton like will be very pleased. You like
that? Vikings, by the way, are about, I don't know, 17th or 18th here at 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. Right there with the Titans and the Bears also at 40-1.
Yeah, that makes no sense for the Broncos unless there's something going on.
Do you really think, this is a side question here, because I actually do have a fourth question that I want to get to, but 40-1 for the Vikings. If you ran this season 40 times, do the Vikings win the Super Bowl once? I think they do. Once?
Yeah, 40-1. If Denver is what, did you say 18-1, 20-1?
Denver is 20-1, 20-1.
Okay, if the Broncos are 20-1 in that conference, why wouldn't the Vikings be higher? And I'm not defending them, yeah, but I mean, there is no way that Vegas is looking at Drew Locke and being like, hey, he could come around. No way. So Teddy, yes, that would definitely
be
them.
Bridgewater.
Yeah, Teddy. Yeah, Drew like Locke that? And Teddy. Like we're coming to town. Joint practices, baby. Yeah, joint practices. The Broncos. Teddy and Mike. What if Mike won't allow him to leave? What if Mike reunites with Teddy and he won't allow him to get on the plane to go back to Denver?
Just kidnaps him.
I love you, Teddy. I've always loved you.
Puts him in a number
eight. It could be the last chapter of the book.
Puts him in a number eight jersey. Is Kirk Cousins wearing gloves now? What's happening? All right, question number four here. All right, would you rather be filthy rich and live 400 years ago or be dirt poor, but live today?
The prospect of being rich sounds really enticing. But 400
years ago.
400 years ago.
So we'd be talking about, so what is that? That would be like the 1600s. I'm just going to Google, what was life like in the 1600s? So life expectancy was like 30. So you'd be dead for 20 years.
Yeah.
It'd be tough.
I'm going dirt poor. Here's the thing. Because this is still, at the end of the day, such a great country, even if I'm dirt poor, I could come up with something. I could create something that would make me filthy rich.
Well, now. Maybe. Yeah, it's true. Like, technology.
Like, who knows? Technology, I, you know what? I might be a genius. Who knows?
You could still do Purple Daily, probably, or you just have to fire up your phone. You know?
And selfishly, too, the problem is if I go back to my existence being, you know, let's say 28 to 30 years of age, 400 years ago, there's no sports. Like I think sport was killing people. That's not something I want to see, and it's not something I would enjoy. So I'm going dirt poor now with the prospect that being in America, I could find a means to turn my life around.
You know, it's very difficult because I think I've
I mean, you'd be dead.
I've grown so accustomed to Twitter.
Twitter.
To
Twitter's the difference maker.
Air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Driving in a car. You know, all these things.
You get a horse.
I think my biggest thing would be I lean toward just being rich and experiencing a different time in history because I'm.
Yeah, but not 400 years ago. I'm with you on that, but not 400 years ago.
I just wonder, like, what did people do? You know, like, all the jobs were just workmanlike jobs, but you've already got, but you're filthy rich, so you wouldn't have a job. You wouldn't need a job.
Right. You wouldn't work.
So you would just be able to, like, right now, if you're filthy rich, like, for me, if I were filthy rich, I would still love to talk Vikings every day, but I would golf like 36 holes a day, and I would kick back and watch Netflix
like
documentaries at night.
Being like fanned.
Yeah. But the problem is,
air conditioning.
I don't think they golfed in the 1600s.
No, they killed people. That was sport.
You couldn't watch Netflix. Yeah, if you had an argument with someone, you'd walk out on the streets.
Couldn't watch Netflix. Invent TV. Change the course of history. Instead of it being like 1920. No, I'm with you. I think it would be really like the 60s. If I had grown up or been around, I think that'd be so interesting. The Roaring 20s, right? Like, but 400 years ago,
the other problem
I probably wouldn't take. I'd probably take like 1860 on, but nothing besides that.
I would just think, you know, think about 400 years ago, even living in Minnesota, like it's 90 degrees this weekend. It's a heat wave. people didn't have air conditioning. So what did you if you're living in a warm climate of some sort in the summertime and you got to wear like all the men wear all these layers?
I was
going to
say that's
like,
the thing is go back and look at pictures too.
You know, people probably smelled terrible 400 years ago,
but they look good. But I mean, they were dressed nicely
and they never smiled in photos or paintings or whatever.
Oh, they were very, very serious. Life probably sucked. I'm going dirt poor now.
You know what? Screw it. I'm going filthy rich. Send me back 400 years ago. I'm just gonna figure out how
to dead by
fill
now.
My day. I know.
The life expectancy rate says you're dead.
I would have caught smallpox and died 10
Declan
years ago.
Declan would have 3 years left.
It's amazing. And by the way, the people who were 25 looked like they were 50. They all started getting gray
hair.
Because
they knew they were going
to die. Yeah, it's terrible. All right, those are your four questions on this Friday. Don't forget, too, we have the brand new Score North app for you to check out in the Apple or Google Play Store. Free to download. It's got all of our content, whether it's Purple Daily, Mackie and Judd, Judd's written work, The Scoop with Doogie, etc. Check it out. Let us know what you think. There's a feedback tab. You can send us a quick message, a video, a photo. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the new Score North app, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on Purple Daily.